And welcome back to Integrated Rehabilitation Group Health Matters. Maury Eskenazi, along with Shannon O'Kelly from Integrated Rehabilitation Group. And we're bringing in for this special interview our production guy, Jeff Shade, is with us.
I'm really nervous to be with you guys. I've heard the show so many times, but being in the room with pros makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, before we start, I introduce our guest. Do you have dogs, Shannon?
I do. I have a lovely golden lab that happens to be a little overweight, I must admit.
And what is the golden lab's dog's name?
That would be Blondie.
Blondie. And you, Jeff, you have a little Pinchon Michon, right?
He's a Bichon Frise. Yeah. He's 2 years old.
Yeah.
And his name is Leonardo.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So we call him Leo.
And I have a dachshund named Buster, who's like a juvenile delinquent, basically. And then I have a part lab, part American Eskimo, big giant white dog named Harriet, who's they're listening. Hi, guys. But, so let me introduce our guest. I met her. I hosted the Wagon Walk in Woodby Island a couple weeks ago, and Eleanor Silverstein was there. She's the founder of the Healthy Dog and Cat. It's a website. She cooks for pets for over 30 years. She has a bachelor's degree in science in both biology and zoology, and she knows all kinds of stuff. She's a pretty smart gal, this lady right here. And we want to welcome Eleanor Silverstein. Going to talk about pets and health issues with pets, because if your pets aren't healthy, then you're not healthy. Eleanor, welcome. So what a horrible opening that was.
Oh, no, Maureen, thank you so much, and you couldn't be more right. If you're not feeding your pets well, then they're not going to be healthy.
Right.
And it's the same thing for us, too. We are what we eat, right?
Right, absolutely. So the first question is, how do you raise a strong and healthy dog?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, that is so simple. The same way that we would feed us. We need healthy food. We need fresh food so that it supports our cellular and immune system. It's so simple. We need fresh, clean water to hydrate our cells and our organs so that they can function and clean us up, kind of like supporting our kidneys and our intestines. We need to have fresh water. We need to have fresh food, not food out of a can and not food that's been baked where every single enzyme has been cooked out of it.
So then the problem with commercial foods or commercial dog foods, in your opinion, is that they're just overcooked and they're just basically there's no nutritional value?
Well, you know, here's the thing. When you take a daily supplement in the morning, maybe, but you might not have to if you're eating fresh food. If you're eating fruits, vegetables, grains, for you, not for dogs, but, you know, and fresh meats and fresh fish. You'll notice that every dog food that's sold on the market has vitamins added to it. They have to. The reason why is because they're all cooked out. The other thing, if you've ever opened up a can of food or a bag of food, it really doesn't smell delicious. If you make homemade food and you've got fresh chopped garlic in there and thyme and oregano and ginger for all the different health properties that they provide, and I teach that in my classes, the food smells as delicious as when you prepare food and put it on your table and everybody wants to dive into it.
Especially the canned dog foods. I used to gag when I'd have to, and if I'd get it on my hands, it would just totally gross me out. So,
well, it's mystery meat. It's mystery food, and when we take it back, and I don't know if you wanted to bring up, but what happened several years ago about the melamine in the food? Well, here's the thing. We don't know where the food is coming from. We're not sure where the sources are coming from.
Right.
If you go to your market and you buy the fresh meat and you buy the fresh vegetables or frozen vegetables and you grind it up, it's as simple as that. You put it in.
I've talked to my vet, Eleanor, about cooking for my dog, and by and large, he says that it's okay. The only thing he's concerned about is that the dog isn't getting some of the vitamins, nutrients, and minerals that a dog necessarily needs that is not there when you cook this food. So what sort of things are you adding to the meat that makes the dog get what he needs?
Well, you know, that's actually a great question, because there's two ways to go about doing it. I personally keep it very simple, although you might think it's complex, but I make it raw for my animals. In the rawness, and they've had it since they were puppies and since they were kittens, and even my rescue cats, I slowly start them in on it. Because of the length of their digestive tract and the amount of hydrochloric acid that is so high, much, much higher in their stomach than in ours, it actually kills the bacteria. They're carnivores, and they were designed to go out and catch a wild animal, you know, like a bunny rabbit, and eat it. And so
not in my house.
No.
Sorry.
No. That's okay. You know, and then, of course, there's always the argument, well, my dog's a poodle and my dog's a schnauzer. So my
dog
is...
Or a Bichon Michon or whatever.
Bichon Frise.
Yes.
With my little poofy and, you know, I have my attitude like all of your bred dogs do. But you have an argument that maybe their digestive tract has changed. It really hasn't changed that much, but they may have more special needs because of their breed. So if their breed is an Eskimo-type dog, their need for fat, their need for protein is even higher. So if a person does decide to go raw, the enzymes are alive, the enzymes are intact. If you balance the right amount of above-ground and below-ground vegetables into it, and the right amount of oil, and you look up and you put the food together, it's a completely balanced and you won't need supplements. If you cook it, then you're kind of cooking out some of the enzymes. It kind of dissipates some of the vitamins and minerals. So you need to make a vitamin and mineral batch. You can make that or you can buy those in the pill form and give that to your dog along with your cooked food.
But Eleanor, my dog, if it's not the right brand of turkey, won't eat it. He's that spoiled. He's never really eaten raw food. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, his pork chops have to be boneless and they have to be cooked a certain way. So when you've got a dog that's that finicky, don't dogs need things like grains and that sort of thing? Would you mix up rice and vegetables? I mean,
Eleanor, tell us about the, when we were at the wagon walk and you made that.
Yeah,
that mixture of food. Tell us what is in it.
I will. Okay, let me go back to the pork chop situation.
Okay.
Pork is considered a very hot food, so you really want to try to stay away from it. Pork, if you do raw food, should never, ever, ever, ever be given raw to an animal because there's too much potential for issues in the pork. There's also big allergens, and there's other issues that can come up. So if you want to cook your pork chop and make it boneless, that's good, too.
You do that too.
Oh
right?
Yes, he gets cooked. His pork is cooked just right,
yes.
And his chicken breasts are cooked just right.
How does
too.
He like his bacon? Extra crispy.
You know
crispy?
What? He doesn't care.
They have those doggy grand slams at the IHOP.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's a difference between spoiled, and there's a difference between a dog who's telling you something doesn't feel right when I eat it, and something does feel right. And Maury may have seen that at the wagon walk, we had one lady come up with an Eskimo kind of dog, maybe a Malamute. And she says, oh, my dog doesn't eat anything except exactly what I feed my dog. And I said, really? And I actually took a photo of this. The dog was sticking her nose all over the top of my table, in which I had all the product out there. I had canned pumpkin, and I had sweet potatoes, and I had carrots, and I had parsley, and I had zucchini, and frozen peas, and fresh green beans, and all kinds of things out there that were going to go into the mix of the food. And the dog was sniffing, and you could see the eyes, the whites around the eyes, because she was trying to put her nose so high up on the table. So I asked the owner, I said, may I please? And she said, sure. I said, come on up, honey. So she put her paws up on the table because, you know, that's never allowed at home. I gave her some of my food. She devoured 4 handfuls, and I had just freshly made it. And the lady turned around and said to everybody, wow, my dog is so picky. She never eats it. She never eats anything except specifically a few things. So back to the question of pickiness, it depends on what the food is. And then you also kind of like a person. They have to be retrained back to having super healthy, nutritious food.
All right. We're talking to Eleanor Silverstein. She's the founder of Healthy Dog and Cat. That's a website, right?
Yes. Okay. And my blog is on stickytopics.com.
And I've read your blog since we've met, and it's great stuff. It's fantastic stuff. I have a quick question. My dogs are older dogs,
mm-hmm.
and one of my dogs, Harriet, that I was talking about, she's overweight, and every time I take her to the vet, hey, she has to lose weight. Well, I can't put her in a gym or anything like that. Can you give me suggestions on what to do to help my dog lose weight?
Sure. First of all, what kind of dog is she?
She's the one that's part American Eskimo, part lab.
Okay. And is she eating kibble?
She does, yeah.
And is the kibble have grain? Does the kibble have grain in it?
I buy both of my dogs eat the senior dog version of whatever kind of food it is.
Okay, like whatever kind of food. Okay.
It's Benefil or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. So if there is grain in the food, I think Benefil is made by Purina, I'm not sure. But
yeah.
if If there's grain in the food, the first thing I would do is cut the grain out. I teach it is really important to cut grain out. It's very inflammatory in their gut. Unless a dog actually is sick and needs rice to hold their bowels together, it's best that they go without grain and 100% never be given wheat and stay away from corn. Those are problem foods. So they're foods that cause us as humans to pack on weight because of the simple carbs and sugars that they break into and how that ties into the pancreas and blood sugar, which causes our glucose to go up and causes fat to go around the middle. It does the same thing with animals. So you want to stay away from grain. You want to go into whole foods. People always say that all my animals I've ever had are so thin. And I go, are you saying too thin? And they go, well, your animal. I said, you don't see the ribs of my animals. They look great, and they eat everything they want. It's because there's no grain in there, and everything is fresh. Even though when I say fresh, I make it from scratch, but I put them in freezer batches. So I take them out every couple of days, and again, for me personally, because it's raw, it never sits in the fridge more than 2 days, and then out comes another little batch from the freezer.
Wow.
So, but the cooked food can do the same, and you'll add omega fatty acids to it, and you can add parsley, because parsley will help the kidneys and the liver to detoxify any of the toxins that are residue or residually in there from food and environment, and then that will help fat to peel off also.
Interesting. Eleanor, hey, Shannon here. I'm wondering, can you give me any insight regarding, I have a female lab and urine spots in the lawn. I mean, I know that might be a weird question, but I'm trying to figure out how I can prevent that. Is there a food additive or anything I can do in my dog's diet?
I'm glad that you asked that, because I've actually called a couple of the companies that have those products out there, and I can't get a full answer from them. The acid burn is because of the pH of their urine.
Right.
Okay, so I would not ever want to give my dog a product that changes the pH of their urine, because the pH should be a certain amount. Although if you live in my house, you would have fun seeing me. I walk around with pool chlorine strips. You know, the pH strips, and
yep.
I run. As soon as a dog squats or lifts a leg, I put it under there because I'm just curious, you know, or I stick it in their mouth to check out the saliva, or I stick it in my mouth. And, you know, I'm just curious because it's my way of doing my own version of research.
Well, you have a degree in biology and zoology, so you need to be curious.
I do. I do. I have two majors. One was in biology pre-med, and the other one was zoology pre-vet.
Isn't that Dr. Doolittle's bio we just read here?
What are some of the things that you should never, under any circumstances, feed your dog?
You should stay away from onions, and under every circumstance, never feed chocolate.
Yeah,
never feed chocolate, because that is truly a poison. But that being said, I had a little dog that lived 17 years, and there were 3 years in a row that I was selling big bars of chocolate for my marching band. And he ate the whole box.
Sounds like a lab.
The whole box of chocolates. You know, they were like Toblerone chocolates. And he never got sick. But again, maybe it was the homemade food. But you know what?
That was your dog, Forrest Gump.
The box. Nice.
The box.
Nice. More is
that's right. That's right. I get the big bucks.
Yeah,
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
but
you there.
You know, as I'm thinking back to the pH, one thing that alkalinizes our body are root vegetables because of the amount of minerals in them. So if you know, urine is, if you went and urinated on your grass, you would kill the grass too.
Right.
But you might want to try adding some more root vegetables. Don't go out of balance. Don't go crazy. But add a couple of pieces of sweet potato and a carrot.
Okay.
You know, in there, and see if that alkalinizes the urine just enough to where it's not burning the grass so much.
Yeah. I need to do something. My lawn is less than desirable.
I know. It means you love your animals.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
We are running short of time, but I have one quick more question as far as what not to give your dog. Grapes seems to be. Is that a yes or a no on the grapes?
That's a maybe.
Oh, okay.
That's a maybe.
That's a maybe, because there are some. The research that was done on the grapes was because there were so many grapes that were given to the rats. So if you talk to a lot of vets, you'll rarely ever find a vet that's. But it may be on occasion, depending on how that dog's body synthesizes it. But I still, I keep away from the grapes. But again, my 17-year-old dog ate grapes all of his life. But wow. I don't push it.
Well, I tell you, it's been, I could go on for another half an hour talking to you. It's been fantastic talking to you. Great information. Again, the website, tell us.
Well, you can find me at The Healthy Dog and Cat, which will also take you to my blog, which is called On Sticky Topics. And you can also find me on the Feldenkrais website at feldenkrais.com, FeldenKrais.
Okay. And the I don't have time to talk about the recipe you made, the dog food. Is that on your website, too?
It should be up there.
Okay.
I have so many different recipes that I'm always putting up, and I also throw them up on my Facebook page if you want to friend me.
I'm telling you, she at the Wagon Walk was making dog food and giving little Chinese takeout boxes for people. And it,
that's called a doggy bag.
It actually, it looked pretty good. Eleanor Silverstein, I mess your name up every time. I apologize.
It's all good.
Thanks so much. Come back. Please come back.
Thank you, Maury. Okay. Invite me back. I have a lot to share.
I know. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Health
Thank
Matters
you guys.
With Maury and Shannon and special guest Jeff Shade. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1380.